pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
Out of the shadows, our gamer goth, Ms. Patricia Heltman.
I made it, and I was early.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
Hey, I was going to make a late joke, but I would say with today's political environment, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go.
That's fair. That's more than fair.
More than fair.
And very wise at the same time. Yes, very wise. So we had a fun little moment this morning. At least Jeff had a fun little moment this morning when he discovered that I had accidentally renumbered our episodes again.
Oh, did we go back to legacy numbering?
Oh my God. We had to go back to legacy numbering because I read 285.
Here's
how it works. This site is built on WordPress. So, for me to know what episode I'm on, I have to go look at the list of posts to see what the last episode number was. So I read the last episode number, 285. I notice that he's now added WGCPB/ next to it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll remember that. I get over there. I had read 485. I wrote 458.
Nice.
And it didn't get caught until this week, so we got up to 460 before we realized, oh, we're actually 488.
So what's funny about it, though, is that the branding, you know, for the meta tags and and all of that, I just go up one number from the week before. It's their templates now. So I'm typing the thing in, and I'm looking at the thing, and I was like, what the fuck? 460? No, we're like almost there to 500.
Well, see, where you're pulling up a template that has a number already there, I have to remember that number, and I wait for WordPress to open up the goddamn post thing so I can put it in. And sometimes that takes a minute. And somehow I went from 485 to 458, so that was kind of a fun little moment there. So, we're actually a lot closer to 500 than we thought.
Oh my gosh.
I also did the dyslexia this week. When someone asked me how old I was, I told them I was 23.
Nice.
And not 32. My coworker next to me was like, excuse me? And I was like, I promise that was an accident.
I'm 11.
I'm 11.
I'm old enough to just think you are 23, so you know.
I know. So was the lady that I was talking to.
I'm surprised it's a lie, to be completely honest. That's all.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. So how was everybody's week this week?
Fine.
That's enthusiastic.
I'm mad about some stuff. Some fucked up shit happened this week I can't talk about yet.
Ooh.
I might one day. But no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. We're fine here. Move on. Who's next?
I had a busy week. It was just busy. And yesterday was especially busy. So we worked on set building for the junior high production of The Addams Family coming up. And then we had to go pick up, we had to go sort through and pick up Girl Scout cookies. So I currently have, like, I don't know, 300 boxes of Girl Scout cookies in my house that I get to sort through and deliver.
I can come pick up mine, by the way.
Yeah. No, I'll get them to you. Don't worry about that.
She lives in, like, Logan. She's, like, clear up there.
You know.
Yeah?
No, where are you, Layton?
In Logan. I don't think Pat lives in Logan.
No, you.
No, you.
I'm in Layton.
Same thing.
Yeah, that's not a bad drive.
I mean,
I'll drive to you.
It's north and boring.
That's oh, all. God.
I agree. You live in a terrible place. Stop living there.
I'm sorry. That was fun for me. What?
You can say whatever you want all about right, Layton. Right,
I'll tell you
care.
What. Here's a quick little story. So I'm running a campaign.
It's Tiffany, north of the witness protection town, Bountiful.
Yep.
Jesus.
I'm running this campaign in a few years ago, and Tiffany and I were not together yet, but she was working for me. Yeah, draw your own conclusions. It was her idea. And I'm like, hey, I just picked up an espresso machine. Can you run up, pick it up in Layton? I said, they're there. They'll help you load it up. And she's like, sure, yeah, that's fine. So off she goes to Layton. She double checks the address. Turns out I bought it in Logan.
Nice.
So she, being the best personal assistant I have ever had in my entire life, went all the way to Logan and got it and brought it back and then explained to me the difference between Layton and Logan at least once a week since. And so I know it for good now. I'm good now.
You're not going to make the mistake again?
Oh, fuck no. Nope.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yep.
I mean, you technically just made the mistake again. You said she lived in Logan.
I was making fun of her living up north.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one was on purpose.
That was an on purpose mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Logan. Layton.
Logan.
Oh, I also got to be in downtown Salt Lake on Friday. That was fun to drive through and see all the lines.
I
and
know.
The
it was so
dressed.
Nice to see you when you dropped. But oh, no, you didn't. Never mind. I'll shut up.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah. I just told you how busy I was on Saturday. And you're going to pull that after making fun of where I live?
You were too busy to see me. I'm going to make fun of it.
I was too busy to come see you on Saturday.
Did you have Mini-Me with you?
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they were all things for Mini-Me.
Oh, okay.
Like,
that's why you didn't come and see me.
Cookies are all Mini-Me. So.
That's fair.
Set building of cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I was at Pioneer Theater on Friday night to see. And there were all kinds of people dressed out in the streets. And a giant line in front of the Green Pig. I've never seen so many people wanting to go to a bar.
It's a bar, and it was St. Patrick's Day.
And it was St. Patrick's Day.
I was like, what was the event this week? Why are there lines everywhere?
Yeah, it was St. Patrick's Day.
This is how you know that I'm growing up.
There you go.
I forget about
like, what the
drunk
fuck
holidays.
On Friday? I don't know.
I
See,
played.
You just proved that you're not 23.
Yeah.
Right? I played Stardew Valley.
Officially, no, you're not.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you? How was your week?
I could be better.
Oh, no.
I applied for what I thought was a position that was replacing the senior at the help desk and come to find out that's not the position. And it was a big fucking joke that I even applied for it.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my boss, who, you know, insists on having a friendship with me,
uh-oh,
couldn't tell me that. So I've been giving him the silent treatment all week.
Fair.
I feel bad being
good.
Rude to him about it because I know he's stressed, but I'm just like, really, Jason? Like, fuck you, dude.
No.
Like, why didn't you just say, hey, you're not qualified for that position. It's not David's position. So I was mad about it.
I'm blaming David.
Fucking David.
Fucking David.
Fucking David.
You know, that's my ex's name and my old coworker's name, who also always pissed me off. So...
You know, I've never woken up one day and decided I'm thankful my name isn't David. What the fuck?
I never really wanted that name. There were too many guys named that in my class when I was in school.
It's fairly religious, right?
It is, but it's funny because my given name is John, and there are only two Johns in my class when I was in elementary school.
Oh, wow.
Always a line at one of them.
There were at least three Davids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's weird. How
yeah.
many Calebs?
And I'm like, It was a very popular name, apparently, to parents in 1969 to give their babies. So
apparently.
Their boy babies. Then, let's see, for me this week, yeah, work. Being on contract still sucks.
Yep.
And we were told that they'd cut a big part of our contract because we weren't performing, let's be honest. It had nothing to do with my division or my department, but the department that they had was not performing. And our department was asked to step in and do basically customer service calls for their fuck ups. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I hung up my customer service hat 15 years ago, and I'm not putting it back on.
I don't believe that's in my contract you made me sign.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm over there just quietly doing the quiet quitting, as they like to say now. And meanwhile, we lose this part of the contract, and so it's $1 million loss. Because of some fuckery last year, the contract re-up was just this last month. So we've had layoffs. I fortunately was not one of them that was laid off, but I did lose one member of my team.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Layoffs. It's not that bad.
I'm just making noises.
The weakest link. Goodbye.
You are the weakest link. But yeah, it was that moment. And then apart from that, it's like I know because of that loss, and because even though we were up for renegotiation, there is no way I will see any kind of cost of living raise this year. So yeah, that's been fun and stressful. And and on top of it, they've insisted that we all get additional certifications to keep our jobs.
You know what though? Yeah. You know what though? Mm-hmm. That certification that they have to pay for if they require it.
Yep.
Will help you find another job.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I found out that Utah Technical College, or Utah Tech, which is what was the old Dixie State, right?
Yeah.
And I think your daughter went down there for nursing school.
A minute and a half.
For about a minute, yeah. And, I know.
No, she went down for a semester and was like, fuck St. George.
Yeah, no shit. But anyway, they are offering, for those interested in getting certifications, Pat, you might be interested in this.
So I can be qualified for that dumb job.
Exactly. but they offer like soft skill and some technical skill certifications for free to Utah residents.
Oh, wow.
And when you go to pay for your certificate, because you got to pay for the testing certificate, right? They will reimburse the first one. So, yeah, they'll reimburse you. So I'm going to do that once they finally get around to getting me hooked up with the company that actually does the online courses. But and one of the ones I'm taking, the first one I'm taking is project management, because I'm like, you said I could do project management, and I'm tired of getting passed over for management positions.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it.
Here's your project. You know, you didn't make me team lead.
Would you be able to send me a link?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I will shoot you a link for that, because it's, like I said, it's free for Utah residents. And then the school, Utah Tech, will reimburse you for your first certification. But everyone after that, you probably have to pay for.
Yeah.
And I've seen those as high as $200, but I've seen them as low as $50. So okay. I don't know what the prices will be until I'm get
sorry.
Fully into the program.
There's a dog yelling 300 yards away from the apartment. So mm-hmm. my dogs are yelling back.
Yep. They gotta be excited about it.
Hey, dummy. I will light you on fire.
It's a fun time. But that's been my week. We also got, I finally got the release of the funds from Kickstarter.
Ooh.
After they took their almost 10% out of what I had raised. So,
Jesus. It's really that much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy
it's,
shit.
They will tell you 5%, right? They'll tell you 5%. And that's what they take, what Kickstarter takes. Then there's an additional 4.5%-ish to do the money transfer. and it's per, you know, per
donation.
Per yeah, per what? Donation. So it worked out to be about 9, and I was like, I think it's 9.6%. So almost 10% of my total was taken by Kickstarter.
Holy
and I'm
fucking
like,
shit.
So you took 5%, your bank took 4.5%. I see how it is. And yeah, so then I had to pay, I had to get backer kit taken care of, and they're reviewing the fulfillment side. And once they're done, I'll get surveys out. As always, surveys are important because that's how I get your mailing address to send you your stuff. And hopefully I'll have stuff for you by May is my estimate, because we've got the pencils done. We're now, Laurie's about to start on the inks. And then Lala was already bugging me about colors. So yeah, we're, you know, Andy will step in to do a lettering, and we've got issue 4 out and available. And then issue 5, I already talked to Taya about pre-draw, if she would be willing to pre-draw issue 5. She said she would. So issue 5, we probably will have a Kickstarter for before the end of the year. So that'll be pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. I like it. All right.
All right. Enough of that. Let's do some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
I'll talk about it a little later, but I delved in and poked a wound last night a couple of times. But Lance Reddick, amazing actor, roles in films like John Wick, One Night in Miami, The Fringe, Wire.
Mm-hmm.
Andre, the Andre show. What's Andre's show? Anyway, if you haven't seen that one where he pops out singing the song "I Want to Be LeVar Burton," look it up. Look it up.
It's fantastic.
But yeah. Anyway, he was found in a Studio City home Friday morning around 9:30 a.m. Cause of death has at this point not been revealed. It's alleged to be natural. Anyway, he was currently promoting his fourth appearance as Sharon, the concierge at the Continental in John Wick Chapter 4. Yeah.
That really sucks, because the movie release is like next weekend.
Yep.
Right. Sad.
Yeah, it's gonna be another one of those where you watch it and you're kind of sighing the whole time every time he comes on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It really sucks. There was another article that popped up after I'd sent the links where basically Keanu had close to a breakdown. Just he's so damn sad. So anyway, you know, good luck. Godspeed, brother. Thanks for all the really fucking great work you do.
I still remember him so well from Fringe, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was great in that.
Yeah.
Hal Dresner has passed away. He was the writer for Cool Hand Luke and one of my favorite movies of all time, Zorro the Gay Blade.
Oh my God! What a combo! Cool Hand Luke is one of the best. What is like a critically acclaimed? It's a movie we had to watch in film school.
Yep.
You know, for how it was made and everything. And
now
we had
what we have here is a failure to communicate.
I still have moments where if I, you know, I'll start speeding up work, you know, like especially physical labor, I'll start speeding it up and it's like, I'll just in my mind, I'll hear Cool Hand, I'll hear Luke telling me, just go for it. Come on, just go for it. Then, you know, I just love that where they're, you know, covering, putting dirt on the freshly tarred road. And then he gets to the end. He's like, no, so what do we do now? He's like, now we do nothing. And I was like, That's the best part of working fast, is you get to do nothing for a while.
True.
Except in my job, where if you work fast, they find more shit for you to do.
Yeah.
Yep. Dresner had a long career in writer and producer, working on The Harvey Korman Show, The Iger Sanction, CBS Summer Playhouse, MASH, and many more.
Wow.
Yeah. Very busy, prolific guy.
I could probably pick out the episodes of MASH that he worked on. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you've never seen Zorro the Gay Blade, look, Is it problematic in today's culture? Wildly.
Yeah. Wildly, yeah. This is one of those where you're like, we need to cancel this. Yeah.
Yeah. Did it help me form my early memories on the fact that even though I had yet to meet a gay person, that they were pretty fucking cool? Yes, it did.
Yes,
it
yes,
absolutely
yes.
did. Because Zorro was gay, and that was fucking awesome. I don't think my parents saw it the same way, but
no.
Yeah. Pink Floyd's $500 million catalog sale is basically dead. You got Roger Waters and David Gilmour. I don't know. It's like, it's exciting. They're in the news again, you know, every fucking week. But one of the sources says that the deal is no longer active, but at the same time, mm-hmm. it's still on the table. It's a strange situation. But yeah, Roger and David are just fighting with each other. And Roger Waters is making everything a pain in the ass, you know.
Like he does.
Yeah, he really does. It is a long fucking article that basically is like, these two old men won't stop nitpicking.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to grab Roger and shake him and say, look, it's real simple, dummy. $100 million to each member of Floyd, you know. Their families of the ones who passed, and then the two surviving members, $100 million, and you shut the fuck up. That's all.
Yes, but Israel is Nazis.
Yeah, I know.
That's what Waters says. And you go, okay, maybe $75 million for you, dummy.
Yeah. You know, just for the pain you're putting me through, I'll take $25 million right now.
Putin is a genius. Oh, no. $40 million.
Yep.
Swift kicking the ass. SAG-AFTRA, and the studios have reached a tentative settlement over unpaid COVID testing stipends. The return to work agreement between companies and Hollywood unions and everything. Background performers who traveled outside their homes to take a COVID test on a day when they did not work for the producer are entitled to be paid a testing stipend if they were not otherwise paid for the day. So basically, they're like, you have to get tested whether we use you or not. And then if they didn't use you, they wouldn't pay for your test, which still at that point was not cheap in this capacity. I mean, they were running like $180, as I recall. And then
even if the testing was free, it's that you're doing something for work,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going and getting your testing done for work. And so you should be compensated for that. And the studios are like, this was the agreement we had with you. And if you, dear listener, are thinking, I never got paid for my stuff. Yeah, it's time to get a union like SAG-AFTRA behind you. You know, it's time for us to have unions again because we're all getting fucked over in the workplace.
Yep.
As Pat and I have both gone on about in the beginning of the show, we're all getting fucked over in the workplace, and having unions available to help you in this, you know, to get these kind of deals for you and these kind of settlements for you is important.
Do you think just me and Braxton are enough to collectively bargain? It seems like a pretty small collective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. That's it. Paramount Global CEO Bob Bakish saw a total pay of $32 million last year, mm-hmm. up from $20 million the year before. And yet, they're going to start cutting my Star Trek. Huh.
Yeah.
Rude.
I wonder why they can't afford shit. Fucking Bob Bakish, you...
I wonder if that $20 million you could go toward getting me another season of Discovery.
Or at least fixing that ass chin he's got going on there.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Get some surgery,
yeah,
dude.
What does it cost to fix that? $32 million and one? I'm just short, Doc. Yeah. Base salary of $3.1 million. Stock mm-hmm. awards of $15.9 million. Non-equity incentive plan compensation, like a cash bonus of $12.9 million. Jesus Christ. Why did I go into politics?
Yeah, I think the same thing sometimes.
I did. I tried to fix the world.
Why do I have a conscience?
And all it did was fuck me into adult poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I'm going to say his name wrong because I do that. But Jaman Hounsou, you know him. You've seen him in Marvel movies. You've seen him in DC movies. Great looking. I mean, very handsome fellow with a really unique voice. Yeah, you know, but he's been acting, doing in Hollywood for 30 years. He's been in two. He's had two Oscar nominations, roles in myriad prestige blockbuster projects like Amistad, Gladiator, In America, Lara Croft, Blood Diamond, Guardians of the Galaxy, Furious 7, Aquaman. Oh, I thought we said prestige. Captain Marvel, Shazam, A Quiet Place Part 2, Day One, Black Adam, Rebel Moon, Shazam, Fury of the Gods. And yet, Hounsou told The Guardian in a recent interview, I have yet to meet the film that paid me fairly.
Ooh.
He elaborated, I'm still struggling to make a dollar. I've come up in the business with some people who are absolutely well off and have very little of my accolades. So I feel cheated, tremendously cheated in terms of finances and in terms of the workload as well. And I happen to think that he has got a great fucking point.
He's got an extremely great point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, his face is fucking everywhere.
And it falls down to, you know, his, you know, who he is, what he looks like, color of his skin.
What? No.
you know, the fact that he is, he's African, you know, so therefore he's got the foreign accent and the foreign look and everything. And it's just, and foreign name and all that stuff. And it's like, no, he should be, compensated fairly. And he's been doing this for so long.
Right. It's like
Gladiator. He was in Gladiator, for God's sake. Yep. Amistad. You know, and they're like, oh yeah, we thought you got off the boat for Amistad and got back on. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
The actor says his experience with the Shazam franchise has been a little different. He said, out of all of them, the DC universe has a level of respect. There wasn't much to the role at first. I did it and it was fun. But the second time around I did it, they were a little more respectful. So, well, fuck. Okay, you guys learned your lesson with Ray? Fisher? Ray Fisher?
Right.
Yep. All right. Be nice to black people, for fuck's sake. Stop it. Yeah. Anyway, that's it for the news.
We were looking into this stuff for what is it, the Teen Wolf movie that they just made for the series that ran back in the early 2000s. And my wife was like, I need to watch all that again. And so she's been watching it through COVID. That's what she watched. And so she was sitting there watching it, and there was this really beautiful Asian actress in the second, I think, or third season and fourth season that was just, she was just really good. I mean, really talented. And we found out she wasn't coming back because she had learned they were offering her less money than her co-stars, her white co-stars. Mm-hmm. And I was like, didn't we learn something from Hawaii 5-0? Come on, idiot. And yeah, it's the same shit as that Jaman is going through here.
Well, that's still it for the news.
All right, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs
and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
So what you guys been watching this week?
I didn't watch a whole lot, but I did watch the movie Easy A with Emma Stone. I just adore that movie.
Am I adopted? Who told you?
Oh my God, I love that movie.
I love that movie.
Right? Stanley Tucci is awesome.
I mean, I love Emma Stone, but Stanley Tucci, he wins my heart in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we watched that the other night. And then because I didn't realize that there are four of us who live in my house. Now, one of us doesn't leave their bedroom. So we can take that one out of the equation. But I didn't realize that the other two people who watch TV in my house wanted to watch The Last of Us, which is why a few weeks ago I got to watch the first episode three different times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I finally got the other two to converge like a schedule together. And we watched the third episode last night. And I recognize that it is all old news for everybody listening to this. But my God, I love Nick Offerman so much.
It's such a good episode.
Yep.
I cried so many times in that episode.
And what's the guy?
My normal level of respect for Nick Offerman, my level of respect for Nick Offerman after watching that episode. Yeah.
Right.
It went through the roof. He was so good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked the White Lotus guy whose name I can't remember. The played the boyfriend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was fucking awesome as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That episode was amazing.
So perfect in the role. Both of them so perfect in the roles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea what I was stepping into. I knew Nick Offerman was in the episode. I had no, and I was like, yeah, this is going to be fun. And then I watched it. I was like, oh. Oh.
Right.
Hang on, I got to get some tissues.
It was.
Oh my God, this is sad. This is so hard to watch, and it was beautiful at the same time. Beautiful, yes. Beautiful show. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It was very well done. I'm very happy I got to finally watch that. But that was all that I watched, was just those two things, really. So what about the rest of you? What about you, Pat? What'd you watch this week?
So Pluto is now playing Voyager full time. They're not playing Deep Space Nine anymore. So I've been watching that a whole ton. It mostly just stays on all the time.
Well, the other Star Trek channel is still flipping back and forth between Next Gen and Original Series. So yeah. At least there's that. But yeah, I think they'll run through all the Voyagers and then probably roll back to DS9. But
yeah,
they got to run Voyager at least as many times as they ran DS9, and then they'll start flipping between the two.
I flippin' hope so. Yep. And I also finally watched Wakanda Forever.
Oh!
I went and rented it from the Redbox because I had what I thought was a free movie night, but they're like, oh, mm-hmm. This movie is too expensive, so you can have a dollar off instead. And then I didn't take it back in time. So I paid for two nights, which was way expensive in comparison when I could have just rented it from Amazon.
Yep.
But whatever. I liked that movie. I really liked the, you know, obviously they do a ton of girl power shit and I love that. Mm-hmm. The actress for Shuri, I don't have a problem with her, but she is wildly tiny.
Yeah, she is.
And it makes me very uncomfortable to watch. Because I'm like, there's not enough there. Where is the rest of it? And then when they CG'd her in the suit, I was just like, what? That doesn't make it better. So, I mean, that's probably just how she's built. I don't think it's anything like eating disorders or anything like that. But she's very tiny human. And she looks excessively tall. And she's not. She's 5'5". Which means everybody else in that movie is excessively short.
Yeah. What did you think of Namor?
Wasn't he fun? He was fun. I really, 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 really liked Namor's character in the comic books. I really do. I don't know if the movie version of him is my favorite.
No.
I don't dislike him. I think what they did was good, but he's weird.
That's fair.
That's probably.
I was happy that at least once I got a, I got an Imperius. At least one time in the movie, I got an Imperius Rex.
Yeah,
that was funny to me. I was like, "That's so." why would you say Imperious Rex except that, you know, us nerds have to hear Imperious Rex from out of Namor's mouth at least once. But yeah.
So I'm also, I have also decided I'm in love with Lupita, and I forget her character name, but her, cause I've been looking at her in the regular world. Her real name is Lupita, and I'm in love with her because she does that scene where she looks at, T'Challa's mom, and she's just got that look on her face with her big, beautiful eyes and her sexy as hell lips. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm in love with you.
Oh, yeah.
With the hair. Oh, my God. The whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then the last thing that I watched was I started watching, which totally has to do with this podcast, Chris Claremont's X-Men. I started watching that documentary, which I am going to go home and watch nothing but X-Men today because of it. It's good so far, and it's very eye-opening how much of an advocate he is for women. And I mean, I always loved the fact that there were so many women in X-Men, but I didn't know that that was on purpose.
Yeah, he was the author who kind of helped wake up my feminism a little more so than just, you know, the fact that I was raised by a woman. Pretty much alone, and had strong, you know, and she was one of the strongest. She's one of the strongest women I've ever known. My mother, and yet at the same time, she was a product of her time, housewife, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read Chris Claremont's stuff, it was like, you know, Storm, Rogue, Allison, all these different characters that he brought in. I was like, you know, they were important to me.
Yeah,
you know, Wolverine was still my guy, but yeah, it was like Wolverine and the ladies at one point.
Yeah,
to be honest. Yeah,
I believe that is a new X title coming out next year.
Yeah, it'll be one of the 1,000 X titles. Wolverine and the ladies. How about you, Jeff?
All right, so let's see. Where do we get to? Picard was really quite good.
Oh, there is a mega spoiler I am not going to reveal.
Oh, that's good of you.
It is something I've waited 30 years for. I got it. And there was a problem with it. And it's hard to talk about it because it would spoil things. But yeah, all I can say is I think there was a refrigerator involved in somebody's life here. Oh my God. So good. And it kind of ends this first arc with Picard. So if you looked at it, it's almost like this was Star Trek II, you know, the Wrath of Khan. This was sort of their Wrath of Khan moment, but it was, how Wrath of Khan, although it ended, it was leading into Search for Spock, and then Search for Spock led into, the Voyage Home. And I think that's kind of how he's building this, is it's leading into the next things. But if he's going to be doing these kind of these 30 plus year resolutions, you know, each in this series, I am Terry Metalis's best friend right now. Yeah, this is fucking amazing.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What else did I watch? Mandalorian. that was also really good.
There was something I read. It was like, oh, the Mandalorian went to, what was that fucking show they just did? The one before this.
Andor?
Andor. It's like Mandalorian went Andor for a minute. And I was like, yeah, it did slow down quite a bit. Felt very Andor. But at the same time, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Yeah.
John Wick 3, which I had never seen before, but that I decided to watch. If you go back to our dead celebrity section, that and John Wick 4 is coming out in like 5 minutes. So, yeah. Oh, just, you know, it's a glorious, well-choreographed dance of death. I like it. I even liked the crazy-eyed Asian fellow. They had chasing him around through there at the end of the movie. I know I've seen him somewhere before, but I can't for life remember where. And then we went and saw Cocaine Bear.
How was that?
On Monday. It was fucking awesome. Did you ever see Wet Hot American Summer?
Yes.
There's some returning cast members.
Oh.
That Elizabeth Banks put in this. It's set in the 80s. So you've got Ray Liotta with his big feathered hair, which is just awesome. But Carrie Russell running around in matching rompers, you know, or joggers, I guess you call them.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was bear, cocaine, mega violence,
mm-hmm.
gory.
Mayhem ensues.
You know, but character development was fucking great, even though it was pointless.
I like it.
It's just like, hi, I'm Bob. This is my life story. How do you feel about me now? Roar, eat. And so, but no, I really liked it. And then I stumbled across, there's this thing that I've been seeing on the TikTok. And it's like this goofy little fucking game show called Game Changer. And I didn't know what it was about. But every time I saw it, it'd make me laugh. And I couldn't figure out what it was. So I ran it down. It is a TV station called Dropout.tv. They've got D&D games on here. And they've got that one I was talking about, which was the Game Changer, which is what I was watching before Pat showed up today. But it's just geek culture television.
Nice.
It's fucking great. Game Changer's on there. Dirty Laundry's on there. Actually's on there. Dimension 20's on there.
I'm going to need to watch that Pokemon one.
If Pokedex entries were literal, volume 69.
Oh my God, that looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and it's $5 a month. I just killed my cable and this fucking phone number they give me that I've never used, but it made the package cheaper and went to internet only. So now I'm looking for stuff to fill in. For me, you know, I don't know what Tiffany's going to do to get her polygamist fixed, but...
Oh my God, my sister watches that and it drives me nuts. Yeah. She's like, hey, no, it's my guilty pleasure. And I'm like, it's kind of gross.
It's super gross.
I'm not into it.
It is. So Dropout.tv. It is delightful.
Good to know.
It really is. So
if there's an app on the Roku for it, let's see.
There is. That's what I'm watching it.
Nice. Nice.
So you, sir.
Oh, me. Picard, Mandalorian. Yes, yes. Watch those. Watch the final episode of The Last of Us. That aired on Sunday, last Sunday.
Just down the street.
What's that?
Just down the street.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where all of our giraffes live.
Yep. I was like, I believe that our giraffes from Hogle Zoo could have survived that.
Did they actually film here?
Yeah.
Like you can tell?
Yep.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Only a few exteriors. Only a few places are you like, that's us. That's me. That's us. I've been there. Yep.
Somebody came down and shot our backgrounds with 4K and then took it back, mucked it up, and then put it up into some CG for it. So,
how they do? Because I always wondered if they just made places look gross and then were like, hey, figure it out now. Or they cleaned it up. Like, I think that's too much work.
There's some of that, you know, some practical set building, but everything is, the whole show is filmed up in Canada.
Okay.
So they have to figure, you know, they were like the fourth episode or fifth episode, where they're in Kansas City. Originally, they were supposed to be in Pittsburgh. In the game, they're in Pittsburgh. But they were like, where we're shooting in Canada, nothing looks like Pittsburgh. So they were like, what city would look like this that would get us pretty close? And they figured out, oh, yeah, we can do this. We can do Kansas. So they did Kansas instead. You know, Colorado, Wyoming, they basically recreated Jackson Hole in Wyoming, and that was all practical sets. But for Salt Lake, it was you I was like, okay, those, I know those buildings. So they've basically, you know, taken them and then roughed them up a little bit in CG and then put it up on a screen behind them or something, or just imposed it in to the final shot. I watched that and I was like, well, that felt like a finality. But I guess there's other, like they were talking about how that's the end of the game.
First game. I was like,
yeah. And then I realized, oh wait, there's probably more than one game. They probably have done multiple sequels of the game. So yeah, season two will be part two of the game. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see what I fucking love this show. And, normally I don't care, you know, I kind of get tired of zombie shows, but this one really got me. So, as long as they give me more episodes, like episode three.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're going to keep me there forever. I sat down and I watched The Whale.
Oh.
This was a tough one for me because, as you may or may not know, I was in a stage production of The Whale about 5 years ago. I played Charlie, the role that Brendan Fraser plays. Got to wear the fat suit, got to, you know, be the guy. And didn't have the best time behind the scenes doing the whole thing. But Charlie has stuck with me a lot. And I was like, I need to watch this. And somebody was asking me, well, what's the difference between the play and the movie? And I was like, I don't know. Let me go watch the movie and I'll let you know.
The guy in the movie was in The Mummy.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
And you were a zombie. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
In the movie, the biggest change in the movie is that in the play, the missionary that comes to his door is a Mormon missionary. He doesn't have a companion, and he actually gets called out for that at one point. Charlie's late boyfriend was Mormon. And all that was in there, but I think they decided they might get sued if they made him a Mormon missionary, so they created a sort of doomsday kind of church that this missionary comes from. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes it better, because they're just like, we won't call you a Mormon, but we're basically going to do the same thing.
Yeah, basically, yeah. We won't call you a Mormon, but you're going to be doing the same shit. And though I did think that what he discovers in the film is better than what the missionary discovers in the film about Charlie's late boyfriend is better than what was he discovered in the play. That I think he improved. And as Samuel D. Hunter wrote the play, he wrote the screenplay. So he fixed a problem, basically, that I was like, I remember as he tells it to me, as when I read it in the script, me, JC Carter, read it and went, what the fuck? And my director's like, use that. And I was like, okay. So as Charlie, I was like, what the fuck? But he tells me, well, it was the story of Jonah. And I was like, yeah, Hunter was just trying to be poetic with the whole whale thing again. But yeah, it's a powerful piece. I will tell you right up front, if anybody wants to complain about Brendan Fraser getting that Oscar, he fucking earned it. That's a hard role to play. I know from experience, and he fucking nailed it. Somebody was like, oh, he should share his Oscar. A friend of mine was like, he should share his Oscar with you. I'm like, no. He was on a completely different level. he was doing it at a very different level than I was. Plus, with a movie, you get to do things that you can't do on a single set stage that you have to reset every night. So, God damn, the power eating. I noticed Brendan had gained weight between season one and season two of when you'd see him in human form in season one, season two of Doom Patrol. I was like, wow, you've gained a lot of weight. And I realized, yeah, Charlie sticks with you. And the fact that they had to show Charlie's power eating, you know, like two slices of pizza, and then he slaps some ham and some mayonnaise on and he's eating it. And I was like, oh my God. He orders two pizzas, he eats both, you know, kind of thing. Pounding down a Three Musketeers bar like it's nothing, you know, just putting the whole thing in his mouth and chewing on it. I mean, wow. And you got to do multiple takes of that. It's like, yeah, you're going to put on some pounds doing that. Even though the fat suit's going to make you sweat off your weight after you're done filming, the weight's just going to come back. So yeah, it's he wasn't skinny when he did the shot, when he did the movie, but and I wasn't skinny when I did the play. But, you know, I wasn't 500. Neither one of us was 600 pounds when we did the play. And that's how big Charlie's supposed to be. So, yeah, it's a great movie. Intense, beautiful. The ending is exactly like the play. They didn't Hollywood it up in any way. So beautifully done. Watch The Flash. So this is kind of. We're coming into the final episodes because they were only supposed to do like an eight episode season. This one's just kind of here's some more stuff kind of thing. Well, let's bring back a character you liked and we'll play around with that for a minute. Gotham Knights premiered this week. So the main character, Batman's adopted son, is named, I want to say Tyler. I'm probably getting that wrong. I want to say Tyler. He's basically an amalgam, I guess, of everybody, but at the same time he's none of them, and that was bugging me because I'm like, you should have just picked one of the Robins.
Stop,
you know,
making up characters.
Yeah, but you got all the other characters in it, including Carrie Kelly shows up in it, who's from, you know, The Dark Knight Returns, and she's the current Robin for Batman. So this kid, he didn't even know Bruce Wayne was Batman. He's adopted by Bruce Wayne. Doesn't even know he's Batman. Bruce Wayne is killed. All evidence points to these three people who were robbing him at the time. One is Dula Dent, who is the Joker's daughter. The other two are Harper and her brother Cullen. Harper Rowe and her brother Cullen Rowe, who we know from the. These are all characters from the Batman comics. And then the person who paid them to, quote, kill him, they were framed for killing him. But the person who, quote, paid for it, it turns out all the evidence leads back to Tyler. So now all four of them are on the run, along with Carrie Kelly helping them to run because she knows they didn't do it. And they got to solve the murder. Meanwhile, Tyler's best friend is Stephanie Brown. Spoiler. And so she's kind of, you know, in the clear, so she can be sort of their oracle, I guess, helping them with using the Bat computer after they discovered the Bat Cave, which was pretty well done. I liked how the Bat Cave was done. That was nicely done. I don't know. This is on a very thin line of getting completely fucked up at some point. I will say that Misha Barton playing Harvey Dent is killing it. And that's just after one episode. He was fucking killing it. I was like, I could watch this guy playing Harvey Dent. That's awesome. Especially if he gets two-faced, which he hasn't yet.
Misha Collins?
Misha Collins. Sorry, Misha Collins, not Misha Barton. Misha Collins from
Supernatural.
Yeah.
I was going to say, does he wear an overcoat?
Yep.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
That's where he's most comfortable.
Yep. But he doesn't have to talk like this anymore. So yeah, he's... He's just doing his regular voice. He sounds fantastic. And then the problem with Jon Stewart, with all the things we talked about with Jimon Honsho and all these, and you know the fucking CEO at Paramount getting $35 million. He was talking about, you know, basically inflation and wage inequality, and. How that's all coming down on us. And the one thing Stewart never brought up that I'm screaming at the top of my lungs is union, union, union. And that's what I watched. So let's dive in some TV news.
TV news. All confirmed Marvel television shows lost their release windows.
God damn it.
I just hope that doesn't mean we're losing any of them.
Yeah, everything just turned into fucking question marks. With very little explanation.
I'm okay with waiting. Just don't take them away.
I don't know if it was in this article or, you know, later in this article, or if it was in another thing I read, but there is an explanation. The explanation is that they're rushing it. And the guys who are doing the CGI, there was already complaints about poor CGI with She-Hulk.
That's true.
And they're rushing it, and these guys are getting overworked. They're burning out. These are basically programmers, right, who are having to do all this work. these animators, and they're getting burned out, and basically Disney's saying, okay, you need to back off, and we'll figure out where you're, you know, everybody needs to back off, let these guys get their work done, and because we can't take any more of the complaints we had, and then we'll come back to it with new release dates, because they were like, yeah, you're overworking your people because you're rushing it.
So Ben Affleck did a long interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and the most important thing in there is he's like, no, I will not direct a movie for anybody working at DC right now. Not that I have a problem with them. Just no. It's like, all right, Affleck, move along.
He touches a little bit on the fuckery that happened with Justice League.
Sure.
And how he went from being in a flop movie of Justice League to being in a hit movie of, you know, the Snyder Cut. Because that went from being a flop to a hit. And he's like, they're like, well, isn't that Snyder's rampant fans? He's like, I don't care who's responsible. I went from a flop to a hit. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
True.
Just adding in material.
Yeah.
And shaving off the weed and stuff.
The weed and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Netflix fans are making fun of Christian Slater's new movie for its accidental and unintentional vulgar title.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Slater's newest Netflix film, Chupa, gets roasted by Spanish-speaking fans for its provocative title. See, the movie is about a little chupacabra.
Mm-hmm. The chupacabra. So cute.
Is that's Spanish for goat sucker, because they drink the blood of goats until the goat has no blood left. That's what the chupacabra does.
I watched the trailer for it on Netflix.
Yeah,
they are very well aware of this. They actually talk. It's in the clip in the trailer where this kid, he's from America. I don't know if he's from Texas or LA. I couldn't tell which. He's Hispanic. He's Latino. He goes down to Mexico, where he doesn't speak the language, and he finds this chupacabra. He feels very lonely. He finds this chupacabra, and they say, I think it's a chupacabra. He says, let's name it Chupa. And one of the girls who speaks English says, Chupa means sucker, but they still call him Chupa. So
nice.
So they're very well aware of it, but it's just funny that, you know, the first thing they do is announce that there's this movie coming out called Chupa, and all the Spanish speakers are like,
pfft. Yeah, in formal Spanish, it's sucker. In slang Spanish, it's blowjob.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
So they have named this cute little creature Blowjob, which doesn't really portend well to the future of young Chupa.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be terrible. I mean, it's got him in the news, whether it's a good movie or not.
It's true.
I do like that Christian Slater. I guess he's the voice of the chupacabra.
No, he's hunting the chupacabra.
What?
Oh, okay.
He's a great white hunter coming to hunt the chupacabra.
Okay. Yeah, he's about that age, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's absolutely appropriate for the role. Yeah. He's age appropriate for the role.
Greetings and salutations, I wish chupacabra. I looked
that good. Yeah.
Oh goodness.
I did. I went Heather's.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell told an Evil Dead Rise heckler to get the fuck out. Just to throw this in, it just came out of South by Southwest with a 100% Rotten Tomatoes score.
Mm.
This is the second in the non-Raimi-directed Evil Dead pictures in which they actually take the horror seriously. Because I am a huge fan of both Campbell and Raimi and the things that they make. I watched that first one from that young director from down south. And oh boy, what a fucked up movie. Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ. So I will be watching Evil Dead Rise, and I have a feeling that my Jeff doesn't watch horror movies very often is going to get reset. Again. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's an hour and a half movie. And then there was a post-screening Q&A. And one of the spectators in the back just freaked the fuck out started screaming, "This movie fucking sucks," and threw an empty bucket of popcorn in the air. Of course, the audience went apeshit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so anyway, he got thrown out, to which Bruce Campbell said, "What are you doing here? Get the fuck out of here. I don't get it." He waited all the way through the movie. Or through the credits, and everybody
all the way through the credits, yeah, and everything, and even into the. Well, I guess he fell asleep, yeah. And he had his feet up, and he was sleeping, and somebody from South by Southwest, you know, some usher came over to say, "Get your feet off the seats," or something, and that's when he was pissed and said, "This movie fucking sucks."
Yeah, he was drunk because when I went up and saw the Bruce Campbell Film Festival up at the Egyptian, Dear the Egyptian. I know how much you charge for shit. Put in some fucking seats, would you please? Those 100-year-old chairs are really bad for us large fellows. And then, yeah, there was some drunk fucker who just was somehow convinced that he was having a one-on-one conversation with Bruce Campbell the whole fucking time. Really loud. So, you know, audience member A would ask a question. "Hey, what do you think about with the board and the camera stapled to it?" And Bruce Campbell would start to answer, and the guy would be like, yeah, it's like what Bruce says. Yeah. And it was just like that for like an hour. And Bruce is finally like, "Shut up! We're not buddies!" So, anyway, way to go, Bruce Campbell. Monk, returning as a movie, a reunion movie starring Tony Shalhoub and the rest of the gang on Peacock. Up to and including Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bill's going to be in it.
Nice.
Puts the lotion in the basket or gets the hose again.
Yep.
Anyway, so that'll be cool. I like Tony Shalhoub. Gattaca. A movie I have seen.
I was recently comparing Monk, you know, what I saw in Monk to what I saw in Poker Face, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, no, Poker Face, fantastic. But yeah, I still have a love for Monk, so I'm looking forward to that.
Gattaca, TV series based on the movie Gattaca. That I've seen at least four times and have absolutely no fucking memory of what it's about. Will be coming in as a series on Showtime. So
I loved that movie. Ethan Hawke was amazing in that one.
I remember liking it. I just don't remember it. I don't remember what it's about.
It was like designer DNA babies.
Ah.
And the one guy who I don't remember who it was, but he was having all these surgeries to become... Mm-hmm. like the perfect human because he was not perfect. So, yeah.
I, on the other hand, felt the exact opposite about Ethan Hawke in that movie.
There you go.
To be fair, I was quite young when it came out, so I could have a flawed memory.
I'm not denying your truth here. I'm just, to me, it was like, wow, this guy, ooh, what the fuck? Yeah.
So
I have arguments with people about Avery Brooks in Deep Space Nine about whether he was overacting or just right. To me, he was just right. Other people are like, he's overacting. So,
it's chewing the scenery. Jesus Christ. Not a nail left standing. I am the concierge of this mini mall. You will call me commander. Lord God of these people. Except for that one, Nurse Ratchet. So we found out early in the week that Willow... on Disney Plus had been canceled. Oh, I know. And then we found out that no, it's not canceled. Volume 2 is already planned and ready to go.
It may or may not be on Disney Plus, but yeah, it'll be.
He's like, wait, I wrote the scripts already.
well, it'll be somewhere. Is what the Willow people are saying. It's just it may or may not be on Disney Plus. Yep. So,
but that is it for the news.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. She wasn't even really sure where she was at.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
So, let's get some comic book news.
DC's in the middle of a restructure, up to the point of firing one of their VPs this week. Allison, I believe Bind was her name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they had a big meeting, all hands on deck. Allison Gill, Senior Vice President of Manufacturing and Operations. They're booting her out. She's a 24-year veteran of the company. Probably knows more about printing comics than anybody in there. And yeah, she's out. Probably because she's a girl.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, no details have yet leaked out on what in specific is going on, other than a bunch of people are going to get fired because Warner Brothers Distribution is trying to find $3 to $4 billion in savings. HBO lost 14% of its workforce. CNN got beat up in November, including the absolute cancellation of headline news. They're shutting down the entire Atlanta news bureau for CNN, which is half.
That's half the news bureau. Yeah.
Yeah. And on and on and on it goes. They are just gutting everything. Even though earlier this year, Chief Financial Officer Gunnar Weidenfeld. My name is Gunnar Weidenfeld. It's time to stop with the slashings and start with the rebuildings.
Yep.
Yes, he says. And then 3 months later, they're like, let's fire half of DC.
No, they do this because they have to show profitability at the end of the year to their investors, or they lose investors, which means they don't keep getting an influx of money. Yeah. And the investors are greedy and they want their money. That's all there is to it.
Image Comics, Boom Studios, Archie Comics are some of the names that have announced they're joining Global Comics as part of its ever-growing roster of publishers in time for the imminent debut of its app. Other named publishers announced to be joining this series or the service include Tokyo Pop, MBM Graphic Novels. Global Comics is increasingly becoming one of the main digital comics alternatives the publishers are turning to. Excuse me. I have hiccoughed. Amazon's controversial move to basically fuck up and shut down Comixology and stick it in as under the Kindle app. And the Kindle app, as everyone knows who's ever used it, is a piece of shit. Is absolute garbage. So Christopher Carter, no relation is my guess.
Well, he's a cousin, I'm sure.
I'm sure. CEO of Global Comics was enthusiastic about the announcement. Says, I've waited for this moment for years. Not only are we finally about to change the landscape of digital comics publishing entirely, we are also fortunate enough to do it together with a vibrant community of creators from both popular web and indie comics, and also many of the most venerable and well-respected publishers in the entire world of comics. Anyway, it goes on and on. It looks pretty cool. Like I said, many times we've talked about it. If I had a tablet that was big enough, like a 10-inch, I'd be fine with digital comics. I really would. But the biggest tablet I have is 7, and it's just not big enough to read comic books on. Not at my age. Batman, the Wayne Family Adventures, and other DC webtoons are finally coming to print. So webtoons coming to print. Vixen, New York City, and Zatanna and the Ripper all will be collected later this year. It was announced at DC.com. All three strips have been running on Webtoon platform. Wayne Family Adventures Volume 1, Vixen Volume 1, Zatanna and the Ripper Volume 1 all land in October.
These are really good stories, all ages appropriate, and not really heavy on the... I mean, Zatanna the Ripper has some action. Wayne Family, not super heavy on the action, but yeah, it's more about being a family of crime fighters in Wayne Family Adventures. So, and I think it's a tale that it's a version of the story that hadn't been told yet, and it works really well for me. I've enjoyed reading them. So yeah.
Okay, so the link we had for this story was from Bleeding Cool, who I refuse to source. Because fuck those guys. Even though sometimes they're pretty right on, they're just, it's still garbage journalism. And it's always poorly written.
I agree.
Yeah. However, the closest I could get to that article, because it was pretty fucking exclusive, was from Marvel itself. The Fall of X brings the Uncanny Avengers back for a new series, written by Jerry Duggan, drawn by Javier Garron. The new series will bring together a new team in the wake of attacks on the United States and the Krakoan governments. So that's in August. We're going to get that in August, which is pretty exciting because I think I'm going to pick up an X title. Even though it's the Avengers, it's the Avengers with mutants.
Yeah, Uncanny Avengers. My only problem, I think it was who was writing it. I started to really dislike the book, but otherwise, it was a fine. It was an interesting concept. Yeah.
Yep. Our good friend Doug Wagner, our beloved friend Doug Wagner, the man who's 5'8" but looks 6'4". Doug Wagner.
The sweetest guy you will ever meet, Doug Wagner.
The sweetest guy writing fucked up content.
Exactly.
Doug Wagner. Make sure we tag him in this one. Doug Wagner and Doug Dobbs' new revenge story, Click, Click, Boom, will be launching this June from Image Comics. I don't know what it's about, but what we got is the following quote. I can't wait for everyone to see what insanity Doug, Matt, Ed, and I cooked up for this book. When this was all starting to stew, I told Doug Dabbs the muses were speaking to me about mixing movies like Fargo and The Fifth Element with the artistic inspirations of Robert Valley and Bangle, said Doug Wagner.
Fargo and The Fifth Element.
Yep.
It's Fargo meets The Fifth Element. Yeah. I don't even need Doug's name attached to it. I am on board.
Yeah. I wanted to try and find this balance between the old and the new, between neo and cyberpunk and crime noir, and wrap it all in a modern day action tour de force tortilla, said Doug.
Tour de force tortilla.
He said, this team didn't let me down. So I love a tortilla.
Don't blame you.
Usually full of fucked up shit, just like you're going to get from Doug Wagner. I swear to God, every time I see Doug, and I need people to understand, Doug is stunningly handsome.
Yeah, he's got a very square, perfect face.
Yes. So I'm behind the counter, I'm doing some stuff, and I look up, and this guy walks in, and I was like, oh, that looks like Doug Wagner, only shorter. And then he comes a little closer, and I'm like, oh, that is Doug Wagner. And I realize part of that's because I'm 6'4". It's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know, but part of it is I'm insanely jealous and he is very talented. And so I'm going to just make fun of about the only thing I can pick.
He has been very kind and generous with his knowledge and talent to me as a new writer.
And oh, I thought you were going to say as a lover. Oh, that would have been so sweet.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work between us. But yeah, he's very kind and very, you know, I mean, I don't want to infringe upon his time. He's got shit to do. But he's always, if I ask him a question, he's always got an answer. He's always, you know, it's awesome. Awesome. He's a good friend and I appreciate him.
Yeah. Every time he drops into the shop, I'm just delighted to see him. I get him to sign shit. Which was something that happened this week I forgot to mention because I'm so wrapped up in the bullshit that is my day-to-day life. Tim Odland just dropped in the shop out of fucking nowhere. He lives in Minnesota, but his mom lives out here. So he was out visiting his mother. He dropped in and was going to sign all the copies of Beware the Eye of Odin that I have. Unfortunately, we love that book at the shop, so we sell the fuck out of it. I only had one copy. And so he signed it on one page. He did a remark on another page. We're going to give that away in a contest coming up here in the next few weeks. So keep your eye out for that. But he's in full remission, he said.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yay.
So,
that's very good.
Because that was, I mean, the first thing I asked him, he's like, I'm Tim Odland. I'm like, how you doing, dude? Are you okay? Do you need anything? You need to sit down? I know that chemo's nuts. He's like, no. That was a couple months ago. I'm like, I live my life on social media. I can't tell time. That's it for the news.
All right. Well, what have you guys been reading this week? Joss?
Ooh, start with me. I didn't read a damned thing this week. I'm so sad about that because I have this whole box full of books to catch up on, and I just can't seem to get there.
You've been reading a lot of order forms this week.
A lot of order forms. A lot of invoices.
So
I read
excited
this week in my life.
That I know the cookie person in real life, kind of.
It's true. It's true.
I read. What did I read? Oh, I read a book called Girls.
Ooh.
Which has a nudie chick on front. You don't see anything, but it's the side silhouette of her. And I'm like, okay, this is from Image, so it's probably got, you know, like something gorgeous, like monstrous or something like that. No, it is. I'm not sure what it's about yet, but it starts out with this kid who lives in a small town, and anybody who has lived in a small town or experienced people who live in a small town, it's a very cringy environment because everybody knows everything.
Yep. We've been there.
Everybody knows you. Everybody knows what's going on in your life. And so it explores this kid's life. And there's a new girl that shows up to his store that he owns, I think, or works at. And he totally hits on her and she's not interested. And it sets him off. And then there's this whole cringy environment where he like starts yelling at all the people in town at the bar and gets kicked out. Ugh, it's rough. And then some chick shows up in the middle of the street naked. And he swerves, and then he has to pick her up and has to help her because she passes out. And some guys show up with a gun trying to catch her. And it's referenced that one of them has their penis out.
Oh my goodness.
So something weird's going on, and it's like, okay. I mean, it's probably going to be a really, really, it probably is a really, really good story. It's definitely something I'm going to need to follow up with. Yep. So more to come.
Yeah.
That's what I read.
Have you ever read Sunstone?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, never mind then. Because that one, not only is that one fun, it's edited by friend of the show, Ryan Cady.
Oh, I didn't know it was edited by someone we knew.
He was the editor on that one.
They did, so Silvestri.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Because he did a shit ton of Fathom. So I absolutely love him. Yeah. Mark Silvestri?
Yeah.
Am I saying it right? I really, really like him. And he actually did one that I read pretty long ago. It's called Fine Print, maybe? Maybe that's the one? I don't know. It's really good. He has gorgeous art. I love his art. And so he did Sunstone, and I read a lot of Sunstone, which I tried to get a lot of people into Sunstone because of it. And it's,
I think now that I'm thinking about it, the only reason I read it is because of you.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're the
did
one
I get
that
you into
you
it?
Got, you told me to read it.
And, it's a
like,
good one.
And you're like, have you read this? I said, no. And you're like, it's Bondage Lesbians. And I was like,
Bondage Lesbians.
I am in.
Why didn't you lead with that?
I think that's a really nice one, especially to give to new comic readers who are not offended easily, because it kind of opens your brain up to the nuances that you can, I'm into it, the nuances that a lot of people miss when starting to have sex. And how powerful that kind of lovemaking can be. So I always try to talk people into it. I had another coworker who was really into it, and I was like, wow, you have more brains than I thought you did. Or he's probably just like into it because of the TNA, but I hope so. I hope so.
No, it was good. It was very good. It was very deep, you know, hit. But the art was so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
To that end, Pat, I would recommend Hit Me.
Yeah.
Oh, Hit Me was...
came out from AWA. Oh my God, you need to read that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You like the bondage lesbians, you'll like this.
I'll get this one set aside for you.
Mm-hmm. Hit Me is amazing. Yeah. And I think it's in trade now, so you can enjoy it.
I've got my superpower on the line.
Mm-hmm. Superpower. Yeah, I get an email still, right?
You should, yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. You've got stuff in there.
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. No, otherwise, I would have.
I'm curating a collection for you. Okay. I say, hey, that's interesting, and I put it in your hold.
Okay.
I do that from time to time.
Should I just make it a point to show up?
I would love it if you just showed up. I think that would be fucking great. Okay. Yes.
I tried to for a little while.
Should I just drop in? Yeah.
Come by.
All right.
How about you, Jeff?
Hellcat, number one. Patsy's back.
Mm.
She's on the left coast. Yeah, the left coast. Living in a demon house haunted by the ghost of her mother.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, especially if you...
That was from the Iron Man Hellcat annual last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway.
Yeah, Art Brute. Number four, I read this week. It was the end of the story arc. This is a fucked up little... This is... I don't know how to explain it. It was really good. So that'll probably be coming out in trade soon. You'll probably want to pick that one up. But yeah, it was really, really odd and quite delightful. The other one is No One, number one. This is a mini series written by Kyle Higgins and Brian Bucciolato. Now I want gelato.
Gelato.
Gelato. But yeah, this is Higgins is from Radiant Black. Bucciolato is Chicken Devil. They're on there with Geraldo Borges, who's drawing Nightwing. So number one, beautiful. It's a true crime superhero drama in the corner of the Image's massive verse. So you're looking at the Radiant Black, Radiant Red, Radiant Pink storylines. It's that universe. It's their superhero universe for Image. And
nice.
Yeah, it was really good. I mainly picked it up because all of the cover art was fucking awesome. And I remember sitting there just looking at it all going, God, I don't know which one I want. So I grabbed the A cover. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So right. It just happens. Anyway, yeah, that was No One from Image. That was really good, too. How about you, sir?
For me this week, first of all, The Human Target, number 12 had come out, last week or the week before, and I picked it up. I finally got a chance to read it. This ends the Human Target, maxi series that Tom King and Greg Smallwood did. And I want to talk about it. So, first of all, Greg Smallwood's art, beautiful, fucking gorgeous. And at the same time, he's got this, he gives it a feel of almost, the 60s, you know, overall kind of a feel. It feels like an old James Bond spy thing, kind of thing going on. The plot of the story is that Christopher Chance was being a human target for Lex Luthor because Luthor thought he was under threat. They get to the end of whatever it was that they thought the threat was going to happen, and he's kind of taken off the bald cap and the makeup, and he takes a drink that was meant for Lex Luthor and finds himself poisoned. And he doesn't know. He's like, this wasn't supposed to be the hit. It was supposed to be like a gunshot or something. And he's poisoned and it's incurable. There's no antidote for the poison. So he's got 12 days to live.
Boo.
He's like, who hates Lex Luthor enough to want him to try to poison him? And all the evidence points in the first issue, all the evidence points to the Justice League International. And so he's going to look into the Justice League International. The first person he looks into is Ice, whom Lex Luthor had killed at one point. So he figures she's got the most likely motive. But over the course of these 12 issues, he winds up talking to each member, from like Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, Fire, who was, you know, Ice's best friend, gets something going on with the Russian guy, Red Rocket, I think he was called. There's a thing with John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. Batman even shows up for a minute. It's some powerful stuff. Just as always with Tom King. And we get to the end, and yeah, oh my God, what a beautiful ending. I don't want to spoil it, but what a beautiful ending, what a beautiful story. Well worth the read. And then, because I didn't want to wait until I got paid to go and pick up the books, I logged into my IDW review account and read Star Trek number four, and then read Star Trek Defiant number one. So you got to read Star Trek number four first, or Star Trek number five, sorry, Star Trek number five, and then Star Trek Defiant. So Star Trek five, Sisko, they found those who are killing the gods or the godlike beings, and it's Kalos the second, the clone of Kalos from Next Generation. And Worf is like, well, this is my problem now. They suddenly get invaded. Worf goes to stop, be a security officer and stop the boarding party. And one of them is Alexander. So Sisko, of course, is like, all right, we're going to fire on them. He's figured out a way to actually destroy the ship. And Worf's like, you can't do that. You can't kill the Emperor. It will cause destabilization and you'll wind up in a Klingon Federation war. Secondly, my son's on that ship. And Sisko's like, get off my bridge.
Ooh.
And Worf basically takes the shuttle and leaves. Sisko comes up with a different plan to save the godlike being that the Kalos is about to fire on. They get it done quickly. He gets down. It's basically a force field that protects the being, but then the being wakes up in pain, figures out they're all from Earth, and so it's going to Earth to cause Earth pain. So now Sisko has to talk down this godlike being. Meanwhile, Kalos leaves. He's like, yeah, this is going to be fun. So he leaves. Worf, meanwhile, winds up commandeering the Defiant with the help of Ambassador Spock. So he and Ambassador Spock becomes his first officer, and he winds up pulling in B'Elanna Torres as his engineer, his chief engineer. He gets, he's got the head of Lore to be his science officer, effectively. And he's also brought in Ro Laren to be an infiltrator. And it's cool. The whole thing is cool. I think the review copies might have missing pages because it felt a little rushed, at least in Star Trek number five. So I'll look when I pick up the books, I'll read them and see if there's any difference. If there isn't, I won't say anything. If there is, I might make a mention next week. But that is what I have read. Today is Tuesday. It means tomorrow's Wednesday. It's time to give our picks of the week.
Pick of the week. It's not Wick of the Peak. It's the other one. Yeah.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
So what are you looking forward to this week? Pat, start us out, either indie or mainstream first.
So... don't know how I feel about this week. I think it's I'm excited. Maybe. my indie pick is Changelings number 2. I have no idea what it's about, but it's got dragons and what looks like samurais. So that's what I like.
Can't go wrong with dragons and samurais, can
right?
you?
Right?
Yeah.
That's my indie.
How about you, Jess? What's your indie?
Indie pick from Boom Studios, The Neighbors number 1. It's steeped in Irish and English folklore and mythology. But when Janet and Oliver Gowdy move to a quaint mountain town, their daughter Casey becomes part of a horrific chain of events revealing that their neighbors are anything but what they seem. It becomes clear that it's impossible to know who to trust or who is even still human.
Oh, good Lord, to think they're papists.
Exactly. Sounds intriguing. I like folklore. How about you, Jeff?
I also like folklore.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's see. From Image Comics, Dead Romans. That just sounds like fun for me.
Right.
But yeah, Arminius, a German prince raised in Rome, swore vengeance against the empire that butchers his people.
Oh.
Don't give a shit past that. I am on board. And the art looks fantastic as well. And then from Dark Horse, Blue Book number 2. This one's James Tynion IV. Really, really like him in Blue Book number 1. Was fucking great. This one's about UFOs and aliens and shit. And if you're not reading it yet, call your local comic book shop and have them get you Blue Book 1 in, because there's a pretty good chance it's sold out.
And it's really good. It's really good. I read it on his Substack. What he released on his Substack for free.
Uh-huh.
I read it, and it's really good. I didn't expect it to be that good. Yeah. All right, my indie picks this week. We have Plush number 5 coming out from Doug Wagner, our good friend Doug Wagner. I am loving the Plush series.
Yeah.
Even more so than I loved Plastic and Vinyl. I love the Plush series. So, yeah, I'm really excited for number 5 to come out. From IDW, we have Star Trek Aliens. This is a trade paperback. It's going to pull some of these thicker books they've done. They did one on Kalis. They did one on Quark. And then they did one called just Star Trek Trill that was about a random Trill that wasn't a Dax, basically. And it's all going to be put into a bound trade paperback. And then from Humanoids, which I don't know if they're distributed in any way, they just showed up on Fresh Comics. Pixies of the 60s, You Really Got Me Now. This is a graphic novel that just looks cool. In the 1960s UK, with swinging London underway, fairies enter the light of day.
Ooh.
So you've got Annan, the story of a young fairy who, drawn by the lights of swinging London, leaves her forest to pursue her dreams of becoming a singer. She meets Stella, a human with whom she quickly falls in love, but her lover's disappearance will make Annan realize that beneath the glitz and glamour of the city, rejection is only a tiny part of what awaits her. And then there's also another story with Aelith, who arrives to investigate a case of missing persons and basically gets involved in that as well. So, yeah, Pixies of the 60s. It looks really good from Humanoids. Mainstream. My mainstream picks this week. From Marvel, we have Doctor Strange number 1 by Jed McKay, Pascal Ferry. This was Jed McKay's run on Strange. Well, first the death of Doctor Strange, then Strange, which was Clea taking up the mantle of the Sorcerer Supreme. And now Doctor Strange, you know, Stephen Strange coming back from the dead and returning. This looks awesome. Are demonic refugees invading your home? Have your children fallen into a deep nightmarish slumber? Is your husband possessed by a satanic entity? Then call Doctor Strange. This is kind of falling back on what was the original concept for Doctor Strange when Stan Lee and Steve Ditko created him back in the 60s. So, yeah, I'm digging that idea of call Dr. Strange and he'll fix the problem. I'm sure it will eventually, you know, turn into a giant multi-issue arc, but at the same time, I like the idea of call Doctor Strange, he'll come solve your mystical problem. Also for Marvel this week, I don't know if this was on Pat's radar. I know it was on anybody else's radar. Women of Marvel,
yes.
Number one.
It is on my radar.
That'll become... Okay, well, I'll let you talk about it, but I am looking forward to that one. And then finally, from DC, Nightwing number 102 will be out because I fucking love Nightwing. So I'm looking forward to that.
How about you, Jeff? Is that still one of the Toms writing that one?
Yeah, Tom Taylor's writing that one.
Love that guy. Mm-hmm. Good night, Tom Taylor.
Yeah.
You beauty.
Tom Taylor doing both that and... that and Superman, the John Kent Superman. I mean, he's just killing it. Yeah.
The unbeatable Squirrel Girl is getting finally getting an omnibus.
Woo-hoo!
And it's stupid expensive. Mm-hmm. I won't be buying it, but I will be encouraging others to do so. Mm-hmm. Because the unbeatable Squirrel Girl is not only fucking delightful and fun, it's you know, just good stuff. But it collects Unbeatable Squirrel Girl from 2015, 1 through 8. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl 2015B, 1 through 50. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl beats up the Marvel Universe. Her time with Howard the Duck. One moment. Shut the fuck up, dog. Jesus Christ, dude. If you want a microphone, learn English. Actually, you know what, buddy? You learn any language, and I will put you on a microphone. How about that?
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, good stuff. I like Squirrel Girl a lot. And then the other one is the collected Batman, Volume Zdarsky. This is the fail-safe story that ran 125 through 130. Is brilliant, is beautiful, and makes me very happy. So you guys can pick that up this week at your local comic book shop, such as a Dr. Volts.
Such as. I know what I'm going to pick up from the Dr. Volts is from Marvel Comics, and it's Joe Fix-It number 3. Because I really like this take on the Hulk, who is not the Hulk, and he's not Bruce Banner, because he's Joe Fix-It in Vegas. And
yep.
I like it. So I'm going to pick up the next one and keep reading it. How about you, Pat? What's your mainstream pick?
So mainstream, the Women of the Marvel. It's Women of Marvel, but I like saying it the wrong way.
Sure, sure.
Women of the Marvel. So I always like when they do books in March every year because they always do women books for Women's Month. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's more, but this one looks pretty good. Hear Them Roar, Marvel's fiercest heroines take the spotlight in an all-new Women of Marvel one-shot. Oh, does that mean we're only getting one this year?
Yeah.
Ugh,
yeah,
okay.
Just one.
Lame. Get it now for a preview of the women creators taking Marvel Comics by storm. Power Rangers scribe Melissa Flores and the American and sends America Chavez on a pulse-punching adventure. She-Hulk steers straight into the gutters, and she loves it. Silk spins a wild web through the New York City. All this and more as Women of Marvel celebrates more than 10 years of uplifting the characters and creators you know and love and ones you're about to. I like Silk.
So this is written by women, drawn by women, mm-hmm. featuring female characters.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're only doing one, though.
I'm not.
Well, it's not surprising. Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess that's it for us this week. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, I will remind everyone that, hey, we'd love you to join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/defendmedia. Sign up. You get two extra episodes for the price of one. You get to hear us wax poetically about more movies that we're looking forward to. Last week, we covered everything coming up into the summer and a little bit into the fall. And this week, we're going to talk about the fall into the winter. So join us on Patreon to hear that, because that's what we're talking about. Aside from that, I will say, as I always do, until Doctor Strange comes back from the dead, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
Oh, balls.
For Asgard. Asgard's balls.